This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 250 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with our town administrator, Jamie Helen, and marketing communications specialist, Anne-Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge, as usual, to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talked about how the town administrator exercised two of the local options permitted under the state of emergency previously issued by our governor. Real estate and personal excise tax payments have been extended until June 1. Penalties on the enterprise payments, water, sewer, etc., are not to be applied for payments through June 30th. We talk about the pandemic number, now published weekly by the Mass Department of Public Health. This issue we have discussed in that this number paints an incomplete picture of the pandemic, as it's a total only of those tested and the number of confirmed cases since day one. This doesn't show how many active cases there are, amongst other issues. We talk about the 50th anniversary of Earth Day coming up April 22nd. That'll be celebrated virtually and over more than just the one day, Wednesday. Additional info will be forthcoming from the Recreation Department, so stay tuned for that. The Franklin Downtown Partnership is helping Franklin businesses share their hours, gift card options, etc. This is also available for the residents so that we in turn can help support those local businesses. And if a business believes they should be considered one of the essential categories, there is a form now posted on the town coronavirus portal page to submit a request for reconsideration of their status. That clearly goes to the state to be decided there. That's not a local decision. The recording runs approximately 50 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne-Marie.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, for our Talk Franklin session with Town Administrator Jamie Helen, Marketing Communications Specialist Anne-Marie Tracy, in our new pandemic weekly cycle. Thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
Pleasure to be here, Steve.
Hi, Steve. We're good.
So let's just start off with, since we're in a weekly cycle, what's new? I recall at least a couple of announcements kind of coming out, Jamie, that you probably want to address in some format or elaborate on here.
Yeah, so the big news of the week, or one of the big updates, is that I did exercise two of the local options that were in the municipal relief package that was passed by the legislature and the governor last week, which both essentially help taxpayers, give them more time to pay their bills. And what they're called are local options, kind of similar to a local option hotel tax or a local option meals tax or something like that. But in this case, one of the local options allows me to implement a due date for your real estate and personal property taxes on June 1st, 2020, as opposed to May 1st. I had received great feedback from the community. It was really a no-brainer. Carrie, our treasurer collector, Carrie Bertone and her staff, as well as the finance director, thought this was a no-brainer and something that was easy to do administratively. And the main reason why is everybody's equal in this provision. So every property owner in Franklin will have an additional month to pay their real estate and personal property. To be clear, anything after June 1st that's not paid on or before that date, on June 2nd, late fees and penalties and interest would be occurring for individuals who do not pay their real estate or property taxes on or before June 1st. It's important to note that this is not a provision I normally am able to make. Statutorily, I can't just make up the due dates of when this stuff happens. But the in partnership with the legislature, we were able to get an additional month for everyone in town, which from the feedback I've heard from is going to obviously help out a lot of people that I've heard from in the community. So it's a really good thing. The second local option is to waive late fees and penalties on water, sewer, trash, and excise bills only. And essentially, it's a little more nuanced, and I think the best avenue is to make sure that people out there call the treasurer collector or they email Kerry or any member of the treasurer collector staff to check in on their bill, particularly with relative to excise taxes, which were mailed out months ago.
Correct.
And the due date was in March.
Yep.
And that due date was just shortly after the governor's declaration of the state of emergency. And so if anybody thinks that they were unable to pay their excise tax bill and their automobiles, they should really contact the treasurer collector's office and make sure that they check in on their bill, not everything that they may read online or on Facebook, but to make sure that they really check in with the treasurer collector to focus in on their bill. And the same would be said for water and excise tax and trash bills. Those also, those fees and penalties will be waived through June 30th. And I want to make it clear to everyone that both of those dates that I picked are the maximum longest allowed days that I'm allowed to under law. Other towns had the option of maybe May 15th or a little earlier, but I exercised the options to the latest possible extent allowed to me under the statute. For the record, the town treasurer collector is 508-520-4950. Kerry Bertone, Laura, any of the staff there can help people out. And so I just encourage people to make sure that they check in with that. Obviously, we encourage people to pay bills if they can. I think it's just a good business practice for any household, but obviously those extensions are there for many of the people that, for what this week is 572,000 people in Massachusetts have filed for unemployment. And obviously as the federal stimulus starts to flow through the states as well, more of that will be coming out, but, we thought that was the right thing to do, for the community. And, those two local options I exercised, ironically, I put them out on the old tax day, April 15th, as people probably know, they can do their taxes all the way till July 15th this year at the state and federal level, which gives everybody some additional time to get that work done, seeing how we're working from home. So that's the announcement, one, number one. While I have the chance, Steve, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that conversation before I move on to the next topic.
Just to clarify, because I did share you the notification that went out through the email alerts. So
yep.
Folks do have the text and the link back. So to reinforce, I think, a couple of your points, to clarify, at least from my own understanding, the dates you were able to adjust based upon the emergency legislation that was passed, you normally mm-hmm. can't do that because based upon our prior discussions, that entire budget cycle and billing cycle, those are already set in stone and those generally don't change.
That's exactly right.
Right. These two options you could exercise and wisely did. And so far folks have had the opportunity to provide feedback and so far it's all been good. The key other reinforcement, I think, is that if they are going to have trouble, at least contact somebody beforehand.
Yes. Yeah.
Before getting into the penalty phase.
And that's what that's a really good point. That's why I put up the phone number there for the treasurer's office. Kerry and the staff have been responding to every email and call with the most simplest questions. What about me? And I think that your point is valid. If in doubt at all, just call.
Yeah.
Our staff is working full time here. Just because we are not physically in the municipal building, and I think I've made it clear on these shows as well as numerous times in other public opportunities, we are completely open for business in every single department. And our staff are continuing to innovate and create new ways of doing business. Our finance team, Anne-Marie was there today. Our finance folks have revised many, many operating procedures that they're never going to go back to the old way ever again. So
yeah.
In a lot of ways, we're finding new ways to use technology. We're our employees are taking brave steps into lands that they never thought they would ever do or wanted to do. It's pushing people's comfort zones a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That is okay.
Yeah.
But we are fully open for business. And if people have questions about their bills, they should call that number 520-4950, leave a message with Kerry or shoot her an email at kbertone@franklinma.gov and I'm sure they'll be working throughout the weekend answering your questions.
Yep. Yeah, because I think as we touched on previously, kind of the genie's out of the bottle. And yeah. In some cases, because it is actually, to your point, it may be better, it may be more efficient, it may be less steps. Certainly it's virtual. It may not get back into the bottle if it could ever anyway. So
yeah, I know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. Take advantage of it while we're at home and we have time. Call up and ask the question or shoot an email. We're all here for you. All right. So the second bit of information this week, which I think last week's episode was almost entirely dedicated to, it was the town by town department. The town by town data distribution, which the state finally issued this week. Every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, they're going to be releasing the confirmed case count in each municipality. I know that there's some people in the community that were frustrated that the town board of health, who has complete jurisdiction over this matter, was disappointed that the board of health was not releasing periodic statistics. And there's a lot of reasons we went through in your last show that go through some of that dynamic. But the good news was, as I said last week, we were working with our state representatives on this matter. And Representative Roy was kind enough in having a conversation with him about the issue after the article in the Milford Daily News. And I talked to him, I believe, on a Friday or Saturday last week. And he was willing to write a letter to the governor. As we had the conversation like we had last week on your show, it's a very difficult decision to make. It's harder than people believe. I fully respect people's curiosity and knowing what the number is. I think you saw in the Boston Globe this week and some other periodicals, some analysis of this, of these numbers. I think the analysis is where the danger is.
Yes.
I think we read too deeply into good news and we read too deeply into bad news. The case of Williamstown is a good example, and some other small communities that had some nursing homes spiked the numbers. The death total in each town also spikes because of those factors.
Sure.
You also have larger communities like Franklin, who I think, according to our public safety officials and others, and certainly our department heads that Anne-Marie and I heard today at our meeting, from the Veteran Services Officer and our Senior Center and many others, that the bold actions that we've taken in town government and the superintendent has taken for now 1 month, we've closed all buildings as of today,
right,
to all employees for 1 month. These bold actions have reduced a tremendous amount of unnecessary risk to our employees. It is really important that the fire chief and police chief announced today that they're at full staff. So our first responders are taking the precautions they need to keep themselves safe. We obviously, as you can imagine, have had instances that there were maybe cause for concern, but our employees have done the right thing. And in the town by town data, it was a hard one. We put a lot of emphasis that the state of Massachusetts has by far the most accurate and timely information available, and it should be their responsibility to put out the town by town data. I think Secretary Sutter's made a good decision to put it out once a week. And not like every day or every morning.
Right.
It takes people, if people stand back for a minute and think about the process, you know, if you have a loved one that's in the hospital, you know, or somebody comes up at a business, you know, even in Netta, which we're confirmed a couple of employees, there's an investigation that has to happen to confirm where that employee possibly got it.
Yep.
Where does that person live?
Yep. The contact
tracing.
And
if they're very ill, right? We have to learn how to contact the family. If somebody were to sadly pass away, I think people sometimes are forgetting there are rights that families have to be notified of these things.
Oh, yes.
We've all seen
absolutely
in the newspaper, Steve.
Yep.
We've seen heartbreaking stories. Heartbreaking. Yeah. And I don't think any one of us is not 6 degrees from somebody we know where a family has been unable to sit bedside by their family member.
Yep.
There's a lot more behind the scenes that's going on that is confirming these cases and where that data is located for exactly the reasons of what happened in the last few days, which is the analysis machine online goes into effect and we start prescribing individual solutions and opinions to something that the public health community were trying to resist. And
agreed.
I think that there's behind all of those numbers, there's always going to be a much deeper story. And I think in Franklin's case, as you noted to a minute ago, relatively speaking, the ratio for Franklin, given its population, its scope and size, and all the different factors, I think Franklin has done very well. I think that the government response to this has been very effective thus far. I think the citizens of the community have clearly gotten the message and has been noted by many of my department heads as doing a phenomenal job throughout the community. If you go out on the trails, people are doing the social distancing. They really yep. understand what's going on. And I think people are taking the precautions necessary. It's a team effort on all of this.
It is. But, it is. I think it reinforces that certainly we are all in this together. As we talked last week, and we'll just touch on in passing more or less, the only issue we really have with the numbers, and over time they will probably add additional pieces to the data that's released because it's an incomplete picture as it is currently published. To your point, and I'll reemphasize, it doesn't show the active cases. It just shows that we've had since day one a total of whatever it was, 37, I think, as of Wednesday, right? So we could have, it could be 36 of those are still active. I think, in fact, they're not. But having that better picture, then you can get into a more realistic analysis. But otherwise, you're just speculating all kinds of stuff. And that getting people can get wrapped around that very quickly.
There was a headline in the Globe this week that stated 22 towns in Massachusetts have zero cases.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry for Goshen. With a population of 400, or Mount Washington with a population of 330, or you know the Elizabeth Islands who have 68 people, you know, it turns your head in terms of how you see this, and those towns are so small, like you know some of the towns out in Franklin County are literally like 70% state forest. Well, of course they have fewer cases, and of course the Reveres and Brocktons and some of the other communities in the urban center, like New York, have more cases because people are more closely, they live more closely to each other.
Sure.
You know, there's obviously the probability is much higher. And so I think that the good news is that the state is taking responsibility for this. I do appreciate Jeff Roy's assistance on it. We did agree on all of this. And the next phase is what you just said. And I just want to say on your show, like I said on Wednesday, as of a week ago today, I know for a fact that 13 of those cases are now closed. Those individuals in Franklin have recovered. And to my knowledge, there has not been a fatality yet or death of a Franklin resident. These are all good things to know.
Absolutely.
The next level with the state is to really get them to publish these kinds of data points too, because I think people will look at that information, like I've heard from people since Wednesday night, saying, that's such good news. Well, if you look at the statewide number at 33,000, what's the number underneath of that who have recovered? 10,000? 12,000? 4,000?
Yeah.
That number is really important for the state at some point to get around, because they are putting out the death total and where those individuals were and their ages and all that information. But I think we need to start to know, you know, how many people have already recovered from this and where people can feel like this is maybe – you know, coming up in the future, there's some hopefully some light at the end of the tunnel that we can start to talk about.
Yeah, and I think with the release of by the CDC and even the White House on the kind of the steps to the recovery piece, mm-hmm. one piece that helps reinforce my own analysis perspective is that the numbers, as good as we have the reporting system to be, mm-hmm. that's only based on the people that are tested. And while
That's
we're
true.
Getting to, I think the rate's up above 4,000, 5,000 a day, that's still insufficient given the population that we have.
Right.
So we are truly looking at, you know, maybe the tip of an iceberg, and I don't want to make too much of an analogy there because we don't know what it is.
That's correct. And that was one positive step this week, you know, from the president. Two of them, actually. One was to recognize that the states have governance over this stuff. And in full respect, I understand why Montana and Wyoming don't want to play by the same rules as Boston or New York City. That
yep.
makes a ton of sense.
Sure.
So to relinquish that to the state level ensures that there are local solutions for local problems. And second, I think that you're right about the testing piece. I have emails going back to over a month from now to Senator Spilka's office regarding our number one priority has been increased testing. And I think you've seen over the last 4 weeks a huge rallying cry from Massachusetts businesses. Thank God we live in Massachusetts with our healthcare system here and the people we have in it.
Sure.
To be able to meet the demand of this. Now, we could get into a debate about whether the test is this, that, or the other thing, but it's the best thing we have now.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've gotten, you know, 30, you know, some odd thousand tests done, and we're now up to whatever it is a day, I expect the rest of the month of April, and I certainly expect in May, that the testing capacity is going to increase a significant amount, and the innovation behind testing will continue to get better. And I think this is one of the most positive things we have to look forward to over the next few months, in addition to the news of different companies looking to, for the race to the vaccine. It's good that the testing happens because the more access we get to that, we're going to find out stronger data to be able to support when we can, you know, start to open various businesses in town at the governor's discretion.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. So clearly more to come on that, as now that the plans, or at least the structures for developing a plan, are out now, certainly at the governor level, I'm assuming Baker and his group, as well as the consortium of the East Coast states, will continue to work that. And then at your level, you know, to the extent that you can, you'll say, okay, based upon if they do this, then we can do this.
Well, I mean, I think the good news is, and I think some of the reason why we, the community is asking these questions, and I've certainly gotten many of them too in the last few days. I think the announcement of the president to defer to the states, and I think also the president, you know, at least trying to get some of the country, you know, again, those Wyomings and Montanas or whatever the, those, you know, other states are that, you know, maybe have a lower count. Trying to get certain areas of the country back into business, you know, as well as Charlie Baker, Governor Baker's announcement to work with the Northeast governors is a no-brainer of a decision. Our residents, as you know, in Franklin, a lot of our employees live in Rhode Island. Some of our employees live in Connecticut.
Sure.
Those governors have put those people under different orders.
Yep.
We've had a lot of employment issues between the superintendent and I about working with our staff to make sure people feel safe and that they're not in violation of what their states are. And by the way, people from Massachusetts go work in Connecticut, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine.
Yep.
So having a regional approach to this is unquestionably the best way. And I think because the governor came out this week and did announce that coalition with the other governors in the Northeast, I think there's some positive feelings out there. I don't think we can rush to judgment. The governor made it very clear. This is a beginning of a conversation.
Yes.
He is not going to have a full plan on every style of business or every genre, every type of business tomorrow.
No. Okay?
It is still going to be, in my opinion, several more weeks before you really start to see, you know, a broader, more specificity with exactly what a hair salon needs to do to get back in, a nail salon, a bike shop, an average retail store. What about clothing? You know, I mean, while we all probably, you know, and when you get into, you know, office parks, whether schools are going to be open or closed, so there's still many, many questions that are out there. I think they're going to be answered in the weeks coming ahead. I do think the state is going to give guidance, very clear guidance on a lot of that, particularly with the restaurant industry. And I think that we, you know, we have already, we have largely deferred to, you know, to the governor and our staff, our police chief, our fire chief, our board of health director, our board of health, our building commissioner are all committed, in their professional, capacities, to enforce what's coming from the state.
Yep, definitely. So more to come on that front.
Absolutely.
Given some of the weather we know is going to happen this weekend, Anne-Marie, I think there's some things you wanted to give us as some reminders.
Definitely. So, we're going to have some weird New England weather this weekend, which is not going to comes a surprise to all of us who live here, but Saturday weather looks a little dicey, some snow, but then Sunday looks like it's going to be a really beautiful day. So we're hoping that our residents can take advantage of that day and any other beautiful days to come. We obviously have a lot going on. The rec department is holding a number of online contests, taping videos, doing art contests. The library has been active on so many levels, yes. Offering things to little ones all the way up to teens and adults. Mm-hmm. They're currently collecting photos of how Franklin is quarantining with the hashtag Franklin Stays Home, which has yes. been, I've seen a number of posts with that hashtag, and it's just a fun way for us all to sort of connect and see what everybody else is up to. And then we obviously have our trails map and walking paths that went out and the contest that's associated with that, which is all on our website and on our social media. So if Sunday's a beautiful day or any of the other days coming up, it would be a great time to get out and explore Franklin and check out what we can see right now, what we can do, what we can do, obviously, while being safe and keeping up social distancing and all the safety practices.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll put a plug in for, I was very fortunate to meet with the entire library staff on one conference call.
They actually talked about that today.
It was a wonderful conversation. I learned a whole bunch of things. So I think the community will learn something once that comes out because it was a great conversation. And yeah, they are busy. Wow. Creativity.
Very creative on so many levels. And then another exciting thing coming up this week, Wednesday, the 22nd, is actually the 50th anniversary of Earth Day.
Yes.
So the Recreation Department has always been very involved in having events around Earth Day and town cleanups. And obviously they didn't want to have the 50th anniversary pass and not acknowledge it or mm-hmm. take some action on behalf of such an important day. So normally they would have, you know, over 30 designated cleanup sites right. across the town. They'd have t-shirts and all sorts of gatherings, but things have to be a little different this year. So I spoke to Ryan actually just a little while ago, and the Recreation Department is still holding an Earth Day cleanup this year, just with different rules. So yeah,
virtual focus.
Yes. So there'll be
social distance focus.
Yeah, socially distance, a lot of safety. But there'll be more limited sites. I think he's expecting to put out about 10 to 12 designated areas around town for cleanup.
Okay.
And then starting Wednesday, the 22nd on Earth Day, the Recreation Department on Beaver Street at 275 will have a pickup location for gloves and trash bags packaged together. So easy pickup. And they're going to be sharing all the designated areas that they're sort of highlighting around town that they feel would really benefit from the community coming together and picking up trash. So mm-hmm. There'll be a number of them, like Delcarte, the high school, mm-hmm. Fletcher Field, some of the major streets in town,
sure.
Maple Street, Lincoln Street. Now, some of those are going to be designated as adult only, just for the safety of everyone involved.
Especially where some of them don't have sidewalks and others do.
That's right.
Yes.
Like in Elm Street. I always seem to do Elm Street every year. Ryan always gives me Elm Street. I don't know if it's a joke. you know, but I like the walk, and Elm Street's a gorgeous road. So, but it's also there's a lot of trash to clean up, a lot of nip bottles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, no, that's a really good point that there aren't sidewalks places. So we're going to have Ryan will work all that out. And I think Tamarie's point and Ryan, I think it's just another great activity to, you know, give people something to look forward to, get them out of the house. In fact, on that note, Amory, there was one other announcement we're forgetting to put out there. The recycling center.
Oh, yes. I actually posted about that today. So due to the storm this past week, obviously we know a lot of people might have some limbs down and yard waste that they need to get rid of. So the recycling center is going to be open Saturday and Sunday of this weekend, regular hours. So Saturday 8 to 3, Sunday 9 to 1 for yard waste.
Yard waste only.
All right, yard waste only, and just this weekend. And they're going to be practicing social distancing and safety, so only five customers at a time will be allowed in. But obviously, the DPW knows the storm caused some issues for people, so they're going to be temporarily opening to accommodate.
Yeah, and Beaver Street, fortunately, has also that long ramp up to the entrance itself, so cars can at least queue somewhat, at least to not and minimize the traffic going by, but certainly allow the five inside to do what they need to do and then, you know, not block traffic going by as well. Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, those of you with bags of things or tree limbs or branches or whatever may have come down during the storm, at least the recycling facility can help. So
good.
And then just going back to the Earth Day real quickly, just so people know, Ryan did talk about how normally they would conduct all of these cleanups in one day and just have them on Earth Day or on typically a Saturday. But again, trying to spread this out, trying to make accommodations for weather perhaps and make sure that people have opportunities to participate. They're going to be offering the glove and trash bag pickup starting Wednesday and then have them available through the weekend, so through Sunday. And they're asking everybody who participates to leave the trash bags curbside. Obviously, this is all going to be put out. We're going to be putting out detailed information on our website and on social media, so and people we'll can find. That. Yeah, and of course, you will share it on Franklin Matters as well. But just so people know, it's not just a one-day thing on Wednesday. They'll have the opportunity to participate for a few days, and then DPW will start picking up the bags the following week.
Good, because I know when I talked with Ryan, whose audio I believe is posted to the recreation page so that that conversation can be listened to if people want to catch up on kind of the pre-alert that this was coming. The other thing we discussed in there too is there's a Facebook group about, I think it's like One Bag to Go or something like that, where people for other reasons, and I think it started elsewhere, you know, as you're walking around, since people are tending to walk around a lot more, just take a plastic bag with you, pick up whatever other recycling you find. The nip bottles are one key piece that, you know, are fairly predominant for a variety of reasons. So pick them up, bring them home, put them in the trash or recycle, whatever.
Yep, that's a good point. A lot of us are out there walking or jogging or walking our dogs, or and we could do some good while we're doing it. So,
absolutely.
For sure.
Indeed.
We have a lot of good activities. I appreciate that, Anne-Marie. I mean, I think we've come into this, Steve, as we've talked about, as we kind of, you know, continue this, but there's so much good stuff that we're doing that I think a lot of people realize. You know, the challenge for the trails, you know, the library you had on this week you discussed, Ryan's doing a lot of things. I mean, even the people that normally do their customer service in face-to-face are still finding new ways to provide an exemplary amount of value for their dollar. And, you know, I said this Wednesday night, I'm sure you caught me saying it, you know, we have had active discussions with a lot of our departments, like the governor mentioned this week, about like our senior center possibly getting to a point where there's a possible lunch pickup program like the high school does with the students. There are some folks that have taken advantage of that that obviously are not high school students. We've made that clear, and Colin does and just a jaw-dropping job at what he does over
He's
there.
He's incredible.
Services.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He's like a machine. I mean, it just keeps on going. His staff's done a great job, and I know a lot of some families in town have taken advantage of that, which is great. The YMCA also has a food service program, but no decision has been made. But it is the small things like this that we are continuing to talk about to see if we can integrate into town again when we're able to.
Yeah, I think the longer this goes, and as we started talking or touched on earlier, you know, it's certainly not going to go away. We're going to be in this beyond May. How long we go, we don't know. But while we are in this, if there's other things that we can do, now that the genie's out of the bottle, to pick up on that again, there's other things that we can do. And if it's a little collaboration, so we know what is the Tri-Valley does, the Meals on Wheels. If something through the Senior Center coordinating with some other organizations, whether it's food pantry or schools or whatever, to make things happen, to service the need, because there are needs out there, absolutely. And to the credit of the town, certainly you as the leader and certainly Sarah on the school side, I think both organizations have clearly been listening, and you can see in the actions that are happening in every department. Is it perfect? No, clearly not. But there's still room. And if we have that, you know, takes two to tango, you know, conversation, raise a hand, raise a question. Maybe there's something we can do. Maybe not tomorrow, but maybe we can work towards it.
Taking lots of feedback from people throughout this, to be honest with you.
I'm sure.
I take no pride in ownership. I never have, never will, don't care about it. I don't care about who writes the bill. I don't care about who signed it. I don't care about who voted for it. Good decisions and good ideas are good decisions and good ideas. And we may disagree on some of those at times, or we may not have the legal authority to do things sometimes. But I have gotten great ideas from a lot of people in the community. I've also gotten, you know, I've gotten a lot of, without, this shouldn't be a shock, but I mean, we've gotten so many great progressive and creative ideas from our staff. I think you saw that probably on the conversation with the library the other day.
Yep.
I mean, it makes you feel like you're there. In some ways, it's just an interesting thing we've never gone through before, but just to air it out because it's fun. You know, look at what they've done from a brick and mortar perspective. And I think these are the interesting stories that come out of all this, which is if the schools are going to maintain and be closed, it's very hard for me to open the library and let all the kids flood into the library.
Yes.
You have basically the same problem. In fact, you might even have a worse problem. Than if you just let kids go back into the classroom. On the flip side, look at how the library has handled this situation. They've gone all into almost daily programs, and the energy and all of the staff continue to have their head in the game. They're looking at what other towns are doing. This shouldn't be a big shock to anybody, but you know, I'm on a town administrators coalition list for Norfolk County. I get great ideas from them. They get great ideas from us. Libraries work together. They're part of the Minuteman system. They get great ideas from them, great ideas for us. Brutus this week, the storm was a part of it, but one of the reasons why we decided to do the recycling center is I did have Brutus look at what other towns were doing to make sure we were somewhere in the realm and commensurate. And, you know, we did have some personnel issues to actually jump a hurdle over, which is no fault of anybody's, but just some of the things behind the scenes we work on. And we made the immediate decision today to open up the recycling center because, you know, as Anne-Marie pointed out, we have some nice days and hopefully we have more nice days in front of us.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
Which I think when, you know, as I look up at Mother Nature, I go, okay, you gave us the virus, but could you give us some 70 degrees and sunny for like 5 days?
That would be great.
You know, it really heal a lot of feelings right now. You know, but you look at the library, you look at all those other stories that I'm telling you, and you know, people are really doing a great job trying to react to the situation that we're in. And you know, I say it during our department heads meetings every week. I said it last week on the council meeting. You know, how could you possibly be more proud of a staff than what we have in Franklin to be able to do this? Mm-hmm. What Teresa and Nancy's doing in the clerk's office, the senior center, Dale and the veteran services, being able to administer the things where traditionally veteran services is all paper.
Yep.
You know, they're finding new ways to work with the treasurer to get checks direct deposited where they normally weren't before. A lot of work's going on to make this a lot easier for everybody. And it all is getting funneled through the prism of how do we reduce unnecessary risk? Because the only way we are ever going to get out of this, no matter what you believe and who you watch and what you do, all signs point back to the customers of Franklin need to feel comfortable and safe when they return to whatever it is they return to. And until that feeling is there, you're not filling all the seats in any store, any salon, any restaurant, until people are assured that they're going to be safe. And I think that that's Absolutely. The most important point. In lieu of a vaccine, you know, yeah, that's really the only thing that's going to do it.
That's months, if not some year away. So, yes, indeed. One of the other pieces before we wrap, and I think we're getting close to that, but there was a couple of other things I think that we had briefly alluded to, and we need to get back to the downtown partnership and supporting the other businesses, either that are still operating, albeit, you know, under reduced circumstances in cases like the restaurants that are still doing some takeout, et cetera. But the downtown partnership has some effort, some work underway to help both residents find out which ones are open, what their hours are. You wanted to add to that, I think, Anne-Marie?
Yes. So the Downtown Partnership is doing exactly what you just described. They're trying to, well, they're actually creating, they have created, and they're working on keeping it as a living document, a local business resource guide. And it's on the homepage of their website. So local businesses have been connecting with the Downtown Partnership to update them on their hours, on their business practices, on whether or not they're doing curbside pickup or selling gift cards. A lot of members of the community have questions because things are in flux and, mm-hmm. and changing frequently. So the Downtown Partnership is trying to create a one-stop shop of where you can find out all this information about our local businesses and know how you can support them, whether it's through, you know, buying a gift card. You know, there's still birthdays, there's still anniversaries, there's still things going on where you might need to pick up a gift card and you know, celebrate and give somebody you know, something that they can use later. There's a lot of virtual services going on. A lot of our fitness and wellness centers are doing online classes. Yes. There's so much going on, and the Downtown Partnership is doing a great job in making sure that people know what to find, where they're going to find it, and what the options are. So for residents, it's a great place to go. And then for businesses, it's important to, you know, keep them updated so that way everybody will have the most current information.
Yeah, because clearly, as we've seen, things do change from day to day. So if something changes, then somebody needs to update that accordingly. And I think one of the other things that's related to that, clearly there's a big dichotomy, if you will. It's an odd word, but there is a dichotomy between essential businesses and non-essential businesses. And there's a form to at least raise a question as to how can I become essential if you think you are?
Yes. We actually posted it on our website. It's under the business and employee tab, and it is a form to fill out to ask for an essential business designation from the state. So you can find that on our website, and I'll actually be sharing it with the Downtown Partnership. If they haven't posted that already, that would obviously be a great thing for them to add. So businesses can apply to change the designation status of their particular business, whatever it might be. There's so many different businesses out there with unique reasons and very unique circumstances. So,
well, and I think if anything, clearly the pandemic does a couple of things. Obviously, clearly it shows that we are all in this together, and togetherness is global, if not just, as we were talking earlier, up and down the East Coast, our neighbors, et cetera. And the businesses also are interconnected in many ways.
Absolutely. Right?
Some of them have parts for somebody else. Somebody does project work for somebody else. They're all interconnected in some ways.
Absolutely. And the business owners are our neighbors. You know, many of them are our neighbors and our friends who own these businesses. And we're just, like you said, we're all in this together, together apart.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the weekend right now. It doesn't feel like a normal weekend in, you know, normal times where we'd be wondering what we're going to do tonight or where we're going to go. Mm-hmm. We're going to go see a show. Are we going to go to dinner? But there are ways that we can still support our local businesses. And it's important to seek those out and do what we can.
Indeed. And I think just to add on to that essential designation, it's a good educational moment, and I'm hoping again that there's going to be a public meeting about this in the coming week that we didn't expect. But you know, I think the positive is that because of what the president and the governor announced this week, I think people feel ready to go. Certain people. I think there's a very cautionary tale with that. I think we can get a little too eager too quick. But this is not the Board of Health's decision of what's essential or not essential. It's not the town administrator's job to determine what's essential and not essential. It is unilaterally being done by the governor within their executive powers. And I think what I've encouraged people to do over the last day, and Anne-Marie posted a lot of that stuff today, so I hope people take a look at it and promote it, is I have no doubt that when people fill out that form right now for essential services designation and they're looking to make an argument as to why they are essential or why they could open, maybe a florist, a nursery, maybe a golf course, you know, as we get into spring, there mm-hmm. are things that can be opened, I think, that can easily practice social distancing and yes. all of the CDC guidelines. The average golfer probably does not want to wear a mask out on the course. However, if that's the stipulation, I think at some point the governor's going to say those types of things, yep. what those restrictions are and what those criteria are. And I think those are positive steps. I think what we need to have is some level of patience, unfortunately, for a little while longer. And I think filling out that form is important for anybody in town, because once I found it, I went, what a great way to get feedback. I have no doubt that that data is going into a place at top tier decision makers to see if there are any good ideas out there that people may have. And I think that if those stories get out there a little more and we start to feel like things are going to open up a little bit, I think it will give people a sense of breathing and the sense of relief that maybe by summer, you know, the places that most people go, like restaurants or like Anne-Marie was pointing out, shows and theaters and more concentrated environments, retail, that people will feel better about that and that we'll have a more straightforward set of expectations. One of the dynamics that I'll end off with, and I mentioned it earlier, is that this is a difficult thing because, as you saw with the governor of Rhode Island and the governor Baker, there was a lot of back and forth about opening businesses too much one place but not another because of the fear that maybe a lot of people from Vermont or Rhode Island or New York would sure. all of a sudden come up here because yeah. we're open but they're not.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get that same dynamic at the municipal level. So while our caseload is low and people have identified that, if Franklin opens everything of dry cleaners and Bellingham doesn't, you know, or, you know, a florist or a nursery or a restaurant or anything, is that infusion of people coming from a more populated area where there's a higher case count impact that community? And I think Absolutely. Those are the things that people have to realize are really important right now. As much as nobody wants to open more than me. I was in town hall this week for the first time since we closed it to sign a boatload of documents. And it was sad. You know, I missed everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it was eerie to go into my office that I, you know, for like 5 minutes to sign a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I want to open up. I'm outside. I love being outside. Nobody wants to do this more than me. I know Anne-Marie's the same way. We all are. But we have to make sure we have our heads on our bodies and make sure we're making the right decision. Because once we open up again, I fear that not necessarily this whole second surge. I just feel like once it happens, it's going to be hard to go back into this mode that we've so successfully done already. So I think people should be filling out that form. If you're a business in Franklin, it only takes a few minutes. It's actually really short. And that form could provide really valuable data points to the administration. And I know it feels, some people have said to me, oh, you know, you're just trying to kick the can to somebody else. Yes, I am kicking the can to somebody else because I'm kicking the can to the person that can make the decision for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone who can actually, who can do it.
Who can yeah. do it. Yeah. And I think the governor's staff right now are taking very careful consideration of all of this input. And I think it's a really good service. And right now is a critical time to do this because as May 4th approaches, we don't know where they're going to stand yet. And I think that this is an important time to get that input into the governor's office. So please, if anyone's out there listening from the small business, mm-hmm. take 10 minutes to fill out that form and get your view in line.
Yeah, because I think the other piece that, and you alluded to the meeting that should be coming at some point, just remains to be scheduled, but I think at least allowing a conversation around some of the guidelines, hurdles, that have come out either from the CDC or the White House gives at least some people some skin in the game. Granted, we will have certain aspects that we can't control, to your point. But at least if we can have a conversation, then better understand, okay, what does it mean if we do this? What if we mean if we do that? Because I fear that some people are out there just thinking that, oh, it's easy. But yeah, to your point, if we open and just pick a name, there's some companies that are businesses that are here that are not elsewhere. And they located here because, oh, by the way, we're off 495 and we get the easy access.
Yep.
And people from around will come here because of that. We need to think through those dominoes. Otherwise, you know, while we're safe now and we may be safe because of the lack of testing or the depth of the testing, we don't want to go the other way. Absolutely. But having the conversation, I think, will at least allow people that forum so they can start to begin to understand that this is a serious problem. It never was an easy one.
For me, it's trying to tell our story. You know, of what we do. I mean, the chief of police and the fire chief certainly have very strong views on these issues, as they should. They're the ones that are out there right on the front line with their people on the front lines.
Yes.
They see this, and they're the experts. You know, there's a reason why two members of the fire department are trained.
Infection control specialists.
Exactly. I mean, Lori Roy's been doing this for us for many, many years. There's no one smarter than her on these issues. The Board of Health is very well prepared on these matters. These are the experts that really know what they're talking about.
Correct. And we've been sharing that info, as you're aware. The Board of Health meeting was posted. I had time with the chief, and I had time with the chief and Lori Roy. I'm sure at some point we'll have them back again because there may be some updates. So.
Oh, I didn't realize you did a show with them. You did a show with Lori. Oh, good. Great. Yeah. Lori's unbelievable.
Actually, the chief was the last in-person interview I had done. We met, fortunately, the Wednesday after the election, so March 4th. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, it almost got forgotten in my queue. And then as I was cleaning up, I realized, oh, wait a minute, I still have this. So we got it out. And then the opportunity, he said, we had already talked in it of coming back. And then he said, well, let's bring Lori in. And then the schedules worked out. So we effectively posted those two within the week. But one was done at the beginning of the month. One was done at the end of the month. But yeah, we did two separate shows.
Great. That's really good. I hope people, if they're listening to this, and they got time in their hands, go back and listen to that one in your archive because, you know, Lori's just has an incredible level of knowledge of this stuff and has done a very good job for probably 15 years, 10 to 15 years.
I think it's a little more than that, but don't quote me on it. We did discuss it in the interview.
The truth is she knows what she's doing.
She does. She does. Absolutely. Yeah. And for those listening, I did post earlier this week, the list of, I think it was just the April ones, it was like 15 to 20, covering the span of the town's business. To that end, I've also added, as we talked, the library. I did talk with Nancy and Teresa. I did talk with Brian Taberna yesterday.
Right.
So we're continuing down that road. We're getting to a point where we're going to come back to the others again because we've gone so far.
Round two.
Yes. Well, being mindful of time, we've had a good discussion. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Steve, have a wonderful weekend and hope everybody out there stays safe. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. Stay well. Stay social at a distance.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks, Emery. Thanks, Steve.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.